from some of the prophecies of the Old Testament. We're going to go back in time to look forward in time. Some of the prophecies that we have in the Old Testament about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ were written hundreds of years before His birth. We've just finished a series that we called Current Answers from Ancient Sources to see what ancient writings could tell us about how to handle the problems and the issues that we face in our lives today. Those same ancient sources had a lot to say about the coming of the Messiah. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Zechariah this morning. There have been different estimates about how many prophecies there are in the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah, and specifically about His birth. J. Barton Payne, who wrote the book Encyclopedia of Bible Prophecy, listed 191 prophecies that he said had a personal reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Another well-known old theologian by the name of Edersheim listed 456 prophecies in the Old Testament that he said Jewish rabbis identified as referring to the Messiah. Depending on who you read, the number of Old Testament prophecies vary, depending on the standard they used and how they understood the Old Testament scriptures, but the range is normally somewhere between 200 and 400 prophecies in the Old Testament that relate to the coming of Jesus. Now, obviously, we only have time to look at four of those this Christmas season. And so our message this morning is called the series that we're going to look at in December, It Was Foretold. And we're going to look this morning at the Old Testament book of Zechariah. Now, if you're still struggling to find it, I told you how to find the book of Habakkuk. You can all find the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and then you start going back in your Old Testament. And the book of Habakkuk was the fifth book back. Well, in the process of doing that, you went right by the book of Zechariah. And so two books back in the Old Testament, you should be able to find the book of Zechariah. And what we have in the book of Zechariah is the prophecy of His coming. The King is coming. Writing about 500 years before the birth of Christ, writing to the exiles who had come back from Babylon into the promised land, the prophet Zechariah writes this text. Many of the exiles had been back into the land for some period of time, for some years, and the rebuilding of the temple had been started under Ezra, if you recall, but it had not been completed. And Zechariah writes his book for one purpose, was to reinvigorate the exiles, to shake them out of their indifference, and to finish the work that had been started on the temple. He wanted to motivate the people, and so to motivate them, he reminded them that the Messiah was coming, and He would inhabit the temple, and they needed to get it ready. Chapters 1 through 8 of this book are related to the rebuilding of the temple. When you come to chapters 9 and 10, they're about the coming of the Messiah. Chapter 11 is about His rejection, and then chapters 12 through 14 are about His second coming. The prophecy that I want us to look at this morning is in the section on the coming of the Messiah. So turn to chapter 9, and we're going to look at verses 9 and 10 this morning. Now, the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 10 has two parts. There's a part in verse 9, and there's a part in verse 10. They both relate to the coming of the Messiah and the fact that he would come as the King of Israel. But there is a difference between verses 9 and verses 10. In verse 9, the prophet tells us three things about this coming king. Look at verse 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, the first thing the prophet tells us about the coming Messiah is that he is just. It means he will do what is right. He will rule with justice, with honesty, with fairness, with truth. So many kings throughout history have not done that. And I think that probably we could say that there are rulers today who do not rule in justice. But when the Messiah King comes, he will be a just king. The second thing that Zechariah tells us is that he has salvation. He says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation." Now, that phrase, having salvation, is not an easy phrase. We automatically assume that it means that when the Messiah comes, he will bring salvation with him. But the verb is really a passive verb, which means that it's not something he does. But as all of you English teachers know, the passive verb means it's something that is done to him or something that is given to him, something he receives. And what the Messiah receives is salvation. God will give to the Messiah what the people need. What they need is salvation. Now, you can translate this phrase, and several of our more modern translations have done this. He is just and entrusted with salvation. Or he is just and endowed with salvation. When Messiah the King comes, he will bring that salvation with him that God has given to him. He has been entrusted with this. He has been given this. Now, in verses 1 through 8 of this chapter, there's a description of destruction of the cities around Israel, of the nations that surround Israel. And it mentions Damascus and Tyre and Sidon and the Philistine cities of Ashkelon and Ekron and Ashdod. What's interesting is that many Bible scholars believe that verses 1 through 8 actually describe what Alexander the Great would do when he came into the Promised Land. Now, bear in mind, this book was written 200 years before Alexander the Great. And in contrast to the destruction that Alexander the Great would bring, he would tear down, he would destroy, he would defeat, King Jesus will come to save. The third thing that Zechariah tells us about the Messiah is that he is humble. He says, look, he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. That's not how we picture kings. In fact, that is not how kings throughout history have come. But that is how King Jesus will come. There's a Christmas song with the title, "How Should a King Come?" It's not as well known as many of the other Christmas songs, but it goes like this: "How should a king come? Even a child knows the answer, of course, in a coach of gold with a pure white horse. in the beautiful city in the prime of the day, and the trumpet should cry, and the crowds make way, and the flags fly high in the morning sun, and the people all cheer for the sovereign one, and everyone knows that's the way that it's done. That's the way a king should come, but not this king. Alexander the Great would come in to that part of the world on a great horse with his army. Jesus will come on a donkey. Alexander the Great would come with power and with all of the trappings of splendor, of royalty, of a great genius, of a great general, of a great king. Jesus would come lowly and in humility. And so verse 9 gives us a picture of the Messiah who would come as a king, but different from other kings of the earth. Now verse 10 also gives us a picture of this king, but it's an entirely different picture. In verse 9, the king is just. He comes with salvation. He is humble. And his coming causes rejoicing. Zechariah writes, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." There was shouting. There would be celebration. In fact, Psalm 98 is a psalm also about the coming of the king. And it says this, "Shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with a harp. With the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord the King." By the way, Isaac Watts took from Psalm 98 those words, and he wrote that beautiful Christmas carol that we sang this morning, "Joy to the World, the Lord is Come." Verse 10 continues talking now about the king, but you're going to see a difference from verse 9. And again, Zechariah tells us three things about this king. "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." The first thing that Zechariah tells us about this king is that he will eliminate war. The chariot, the horse, the bow, these are all implements of warfare. And the king is going to come, he is going to cut off, he is going to do away with the implements of war and therefore war itself. And then the prophet tells us he will establish peace. He will speak peace to the nations. The rule of the king is going to be characterized as a kingdom of peace. And thirdly, he will establish his kingdom. His dominion, the writer, the prophet says, will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Dr. Charles Feinberg, in his excellent commentary on the Minor Prophets, points out that this language indicates that the Messiah's rule will begin in Israel from sea to sea. Normally, in the Old Testament especially, when it refers to the sea, it's referring to one of two areas, either to the Sea of Galilee or to the Mediterranean Sea, two large geographical features that dominate that part of the world and very generally define the boundaries of Israel. And so his rule is going to begin in Israel, but it's going to extend beyond Israel, as we see in the next phrase, from the river, that's the river Euphrates, to the ends of the earth. When this king comes, he is going to establish his rule, and it will be a universal rule.